RCR with Paul Brennan, Reality Check Radio.
What is Bovaer? What does it block? What does it stop coming out, well, the arse end of a cow? We thought we would ask our favourite doctor, Dr. Guy Hatchard, to come on. Quick reminder, the guy has a PhD. He was formerly a director of natural products at Genetic ID, now known as Food Chain ID, a global food safety testing and certification company, to talk about Bovaer. Hi, Guy.
Hello. How are you, Paul?
Sounds like a fashion label. Pants by Bovaer.
It's an additive that they're giving to cows. It's been approved in 55 countries, and it really just came to the attention of the UK public in the last very short while, last week or so. Very quietly introduced without labeling, and it basically aims to reduce the amount of methane that a cow or a produces.
Which is their natural thing. That's what they do.
Yeah, it's part of a wider bio cycle. And it reduces their methane consumption by about 30%. And it does so because of an ingredient called 3-nitro-oxypropanol.
Oh, that.
3-NOP.
Okay.
Well, there are some rather, in my opinion, alarming test results.
Well, wait on. Is that a man-made thing?
Yeah, it's a synthesized chemical.
Right, got
basically.
It.
Yeah. Mm. And it's entering the food chain all around the world, which is a worry in itself. It seems to me with the growing influence of global companies, corporations, that humans are being subjected to unusual chemicals on a massive scale.
I'm just doing the sums in my head, back of the envelope, virtual back of the envelope. How many farmed cattle are there on the planet? Billions and billions and billions, right?
Yeah, it's a very large number.
Each one is a potential sale.
Yeah, well, we have 55 million ruminants, I think, here not 55, 35 million ruminants. Mm. That's sheep, deer, cattle. There are about 7 million cows here in New Zealand. So if the government, for example, says that all cows need to take this, then you're creating a lot of money. So it's very lucrative.
And the only reason you'd be told that we've got to do this is because of the climate catastrophe.
Yes.
You can actually make your own meaning into that. It can go both ways. But that's what's underpinning that, right?
It is. It's what's driving it. It's politically correct to approve these things. And in this case, it's being rushed. It's being rushed through. There are no trials on its safety for humans, and there are some big questions in the animal trials that have been completed.
Well, can you give us a bit of information?
Well, tests on, they start out with tests on rats, and tests on rats showed reduced fertility, reduced sperm counts, reduced mobility of sperm, and they found accumulations in the liver, the kidneys. And that's at sort of slightly higher doses than you're giving to cows. So there are some red flags there. And another aspect of this is what's called genotoxicity. And there are very mixed results on this. This is, does it affect the DNA? Does it get into a cell? What does it do to the genetic structure inside the cell? So there are inconclusive results that came up with these tests on rats. And there were also cancers detected in rats. So somewhere between 6 and 8% of the rats, between 6 and 8 out of 100, in other words, developed precursors to cancer or tumors which were considered benign in the tests. What was worrying about this was because it raised red flags, and then the Swiss company marketing this, the Swiss-Dutch company marketing it, got in some other so-called independent experts to re-examine the studies and reframe the results. And they came up with we're not too worried about this. For the company.
Well, that's nice. We're not too worried about it. Okay, well, in that case, no problem there.
And then, of course, after the rats, you switch to the cows. Well, in between, you're going for rabbits and things like that. But then switching to the cows, there are some worrying effects with the cows, right? That, again, if you increase the dose, and that doesn't mean massively, it means like doubling the dose that they're proposing, then the results showed reduced size of the ovaries, reduced size of the heart, reductions in feed, reductions in water intake. And these things basically show that the cows don't like it, and changes in the gut biome. The other thing I want to say about these tests, because this is an area I've worked in, is that at the higher doses, it's detected in the milk. But at the proposed doses, it says it's not detected in the milk. But I know how these things work. They set a level, and if it appears below that level concentration, then they say nothing is there. You know, it's not.
So like it's an assumption without even looking.
Well, it's kind of below this, we're not sure. So if it appears at this level, then it's not a concern. It's tolerable.
Oh, okay, yep.
And these, you know, so what you've got here is a whole range of effects that are detrimental to the health of animals, and yet there are no tests for humans. And the company has issued an advisory, DSM Firmenich, it's called. It's a Swiss-Dutch company. And they're basically saying, as long as the product is used as we recommend, there will be no safety issue.
Oh, okay. Yep. Well, they're sort of admitting that there could be, you know, I suppose you can drink just enough poison to not be affected, but any more would take you over the edge.
It's a powder. This is primarily aimed at feedlots. So it's put in there, you know, you've got cows who are shackled.
Sprinkled on it or whatever, yeah.
Yeah, and there is direct toxicity with it. The US FDA has found that it's an eye irritant, that it's a skin irritant, and it shouldn't be inhaled. And there are all kinds of regulations. And if people are handling it, they have to wear full protective clothing.
And you're putting this inside an animal?
Absolutely. Why not? Yeah. This is the kind of attitude that is developed in biotechnology experimentation now. It started off with COVID, but it has spread to hundreds, if not thousands, of products that are in the pipeline for approval that are going to change what we eat and how our food is produced.
So being synthetic, does that make it a GMO or a GM or whatever?
Yeah, it'll be produced in biosynthesizers in these big vats. And there are also, you know, another issue, of course, is there's a contamination issue. What does it contain as well as...
Yeah, what's in the waste?
Well, it is... In small quantities, it appears to be broken down in the cow's digestive system.
Okay.
And, so there are the level of risk involved is, you know, again, we're talking what is the long-term impact on the health of the cow? In one study, two of the cows out of there were only four cows in the study. Two had to be euthanized early.
Right.
We're talking about a lot of unknowns, and the presumption, the fact that it's not going to be labeled, you won't know whether the milk or butter is or cheese has come from cows that are being fed this product. So that is a huge concern, because if you don't label, there's no traceability. So even if something
and then happens, no trust. There was a backlash in the UK, wasn't there? And Aldi and a few of the other supermarket brands on what, having milk or dairy products or meat anyway.
Milk and dairy products from the Danish firm Alder, which makes Lurpak. And the consumers don't want it. The farmers are also concerned, you know, because this affects their capacity to sell their product. So it's concern not just limited to consumers. It basically one more chemical out of the many chemicals is, you know, is, yeah, oh, so what? It's one more chemical. But this is a different kind of chemical. It's a synthesized chemical.
Well, it changes the operating system of the actual beast, doesn't it?
Of the digestive system.
Yeah, yeah. Which is, but that's, everything hangs off that, right? I mean,
yeah.
Just to wind up on, is this a red flag to us thinking about or pushing back against, because we are, deregulation, that this is what happens, right?
Yeah, we're going into biotechnology deregulation, and part of that is that these products don't need to be labeled, and we don't have a lot of cattle and dairy cows in feedlots here in New Zealand, but we're developing our own pill, as I've reported.
Bolus.
Yeah, there's a pill for cows that's being developed here in New Zealand, and the government is very keen for that to go ahead. Will we be told? For me, this is all.
But if there's any suspicion that we're doing anything, look at the supermarket experience we're just talking about. You can be dropped like a hot potato instantaneously by the market.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I think if we start mucking about with everything as we are, as will happen with deregulation, then we will become vulnerable to consumer bans. But I think, look, the much bigger issue here is a health issue. It's, yeah, we've...
The green light's been given for this, sorry to jump in there, Guy, but the green light's been given to use this here.
Yeah, it has. It has. But it's not, as far as I can find out, it's not being used here, but it has been registered here.
Yeah. Well, the biggest hurdle's already been...
Yeah, absolutely.
Taken care of.
This is the kind of attitude that's come in with COVID and, you know, with the whole COVID experience. This is biotechnology regulation light. You know, let the scientists get on with it and do whatever they want to do, and we'll just rubber stamp it. And, you know, I suppose MPs think, oh, I don't understand this. I'm sure it's okay. You know, and that's...
I'm a bit over that.
Yeah, well, that's what's happened in the UK, is that there are articles appearing by so-called experts saying, look, if this is being marketed by a big brand, then you should be worried. Who would ever do anything that nasty to someone?
Oh, dear. Yeah.
The way around this is to eat organic.
Yeah. All right, Guy, thanks for coming back on and explaining that.
Thank you. Good talking, Paul.
The RCR shop has great gift ideas, from great-looking tees, hoodies, caps, tote bags, bumper stickers, and more. The RCR shop is now open at www.realitycheck.radio/shop.